Today we will be looking at Psalm 30, if you'd like to turn your Bibles there. But before we get into Psalm 30, I'd love to bring some context, or bring what I think the context might be to this psalm. Is we see this title of the psalm is a song at the dedication of the house of David, of the temple. But I believe this temple was the one that Solomon would build in the future, and this psalm is in context of this story I'm about to share. It's a story from 1 Chronicles 21 and 22, 2 Samuel 24. David, as king, trusts in his own strength, and he takes a census. A census was a time where you counted the amount of soldiers you had. But what was wrong with this? God didn't command for this. This needed to be something commanded by God, because it's God's people, it's God's army. But David, in doing the census, was trusting in his own army. As a king, would find great pride and joy in his army and the strength of his own army. So David sinned. And there were great consequences for this sin. David had three choices, and he chose the last choice that was given to him, that he would fall into the hand of God. And this is why he chose to fall into the hand of God. He said, "For his mercies are very great, but do not let me fall into the hand of man." So 70,000 men died, and God, looking at the soldiers dying, was grieved and told the angel to stop. There were great consequences, and I think you'll see that in the psalm as well. The Lord told David through Gad to build an altar at the place where Adonai was, or Ornan, where the angel was. And so David built an altar here, and he put a sacrifice on the altar for his sin. God sent fire down from heaven to burn the sacrifice, to show that he accepts the sacrifice, that David's sin is ultimately forgiven. But this place is so essential, I think, to the psalm, because David looks at this place where he built the altar and decided, this is where God's house will be built. And he decided this here. But God's word came to David, and he said that David would not build his temple, would not build the dwelling place of God, but rather Solomon would at a later time in the same place. And that's why I believe this is the context of the psalm. And I think as you read the psalm and see the psalm, keep this story in mind, and I think you'll really see how this plays a part in the psalm. But before we read the psalm, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you are our great deliverer. Thank you, Lord, that you've showed us a great mercy in the same way you showed mercy to David. Thank you that even though sin has a price that needs to be paid, we don't need to pay it, because Jesus has paid it for us. Thank you for technology and how we can record the sermon. Thank you for everyone listening. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to them through your word and give them ears to hear, that they might be able to grow in their love and joy for you and joy in you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for another day of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's read Psalm 30. I'll be reading from NIV. "I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, and I was troubled. I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood? When I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. This psalm isn't David reflecting on his great deeds, but rather on God's great deeds, and in particular, God's great deliverance. And today, as you look at the psalm, I hope that you can look out for how God is your great deliverer and what that means for us today. That if he has delivered you, what should our right response look like? David starts off the psalm by realizing that God has lifted him up. David was a lowly shepherd boy, looking after sheep, just a regular job in those days. But God lifted him up and made him king over his people. What a place to be, from sheep to king over God's own people. God lifted him up. And in battle, and as David is king, there were many battles that he fought in. God never let his enemies rejoice over him. Have your enemies rejoiced over you? Who are your enemies? I think as humans, we share two great enemies. And we share them in common, sin and death. Sin, the very thing that separates us from God. Sin, the thing that corrupts us like a disease. And death, the thing that takes our life from us, leading to eternal death, hell. These are our greatest enemies. Have you been delivered from them? Or are they rejoicing over you? Because there's one right response that we should have, that David has. That realizing our enemies, we ought to cry out to God. Knowing that he's the only one that can heal us. It's like this. And David uses this imagery in verse 3 as a grave, as a pit. And it's like this. Maybe close your eyes if it helps. We're in a pit, so deep you can't see the top. And sin is the decision to look down and continue on digging. And we dig and we dig and we dig and we continue to sin. We sin like as if it's drinking water. Ultimately, the end of this pit will happen at the day of death, where the earth opens up and swallows us up, ultimately leading in hell, the place where God has justice on our sin. Are you still digging? Or have you cried out to God and looked to Jesus? Because you can be healed. You can be delivered from sin and death, our greatest enemies. And David in verse 3 reflects on God's deliverance. Can you do the same? That David was so deep in a pit, and many times he was near death, many times in battle, maybe in the specific story is what he's referring to. That he knows he ought to have died for his sin. But rather, God kept him alive. God preserved his life that he should not go down to the pit, should not die. Are you still digging, or have you looked to Jesus? David's heart is so filled with joy, realizing that God has delivered him, that his heart overflows into encouraging everyone, not everyone, his saints, to sing praise to the Lord and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For God being holy means that he is pure, he is perfect, and he is different from any other being or creation. Everything else is made by God. So we are not in the position of God. God is holy, he is not like us. So when we give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name, we thank him that he's not like us. He's holy, he's perfect, he doesn't make mistakes. And as you remember his holy name, his perfection and his holiness to bring justice, give thanks and sing praise to him. Let your heart be filled with joy like David's was, knowing that God has delivered you, that you sing his praise, and that you give thanks to his name. And David there now gives us some reasons in why we can do this. For his anger is but for a moment, because he is holy, but his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, because there is consequences for sin, but joy comes in the morning. I think this verse is so beautiful, because though God is holy and just, he is merciful. That in God's holiness, in his nature, he needs to punish sin. You've sinned, I've sinned. We can either spend eternity in hell paying for the punishment of our sin, or you can trust in Jesus. For his anger is but for a moment, that Jesus came down to take God's anger on our sin upon himself. That as Jesus was on the cross, it says in the Bible that he was made our sin. That Jesus was our sin on the cross. That God's anger for that moment was put on Jesus instead of on us. That should have been us. You might not see how serious your sin is, but it was serious enough for God in eternity to become a human, Jesus, to die and suffer on the cross, the most brutal Roman death and torture at that time. And Jesus did that because he knew that we can have his favor. That Jesus wept that we might have joy. And when Jesus died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." And our sin has been paid for. The curtain, the veil that only the priest could go in, was torn in two that we might enter into the presence of God. And in the presence of God is the fullness of joy. This is what we have in Christ. If you are his saint, How can you not sing praise to him? How can you not give thanks to our great God, our great deliverer, who's delivered us from sin and death and delivered us into eternal life full of joy with him? And I think that verse really clearly showed the story I shared with you at the start. But I think this verse also does. That David in his prosperity said, I shall never be moved. This is a statement of pride. That as David trusted in his own army, he took that census. He was doing well. He was a great king. But where he went wrong, was when he then decided to trust in his own strength as king, rather than God, his great deliverer. But now David realizes that it's only by God's favor his mountain can stand strong. So often I trust in my own strength. So often I forget where I was in the pit before Jesus rescued me. Oh, I'm doing well with my Bible reading and prayer. I'm doing well in this life with God. I'm doing the right things. When I'm doing well, that's when I say, I shall never be moved in my actions, and I lack in my trust of God and his grace. But so often it's when we see the result of our own strength, we realize we need to run back to God's grace. That our pride has consequences. David was troubled that God hid his face from him. David felt the weight of guilt. Yes, in this story, but many other times. He felt troubled, and many times other famous prophets felt troubled, as if God had hid their face because of their own sin or because of just where they were at. But I believe this is alluding to the guilt of sin. But David has the right response again. He cries out to God, and he makes supplication to him. And then he's crying out, he cries out to God, what profit is there in my blood? When I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? David here is reasoning with God and saying, how could you let me die? I need to live so I can do this. David realizes his sole purpose is to praise God, is to declare his truth. Can you say the same? David realizes that his reason in being alive is not for him and to rule as a great king, but rather to glorify God and to declare his truth. And I don't think that that purpose has changed for us. I think it's still the same, to glorify God, to praise him, and to declare the truth of his word, to declare his gospel. We just have more truth than what David had. We have more truth and more things that we can praise God for. As time has gone on, God has shown more of his wonderful works, showing us how great of a deliverer he is. And when we don't live in this way, as if this is our purpose, would we cry out, as David cried out, hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. That David was the great king, and the people paid the consequences for his sin. But Jesus, the great king of the universe, paid for the consequences of his sin, of his enemy's sin. That when we were rebelling against God, Jesus became our sin. what great mercy that is. And Lord, be my helper. We have God's Spirit. Jesus said, I will send you a helper. And we have him. Would we cry out to the Spirit to make clear anything that we need to change? Are we living in the temporary and forgot our eternal purpose? Because I can so often say I have. But yet this psalm isn't a reflection on our sin. That even though I believe it is, looking back at David's sin, how many times can we see David's sin brought up? Zero times. And in the same way, we can reflect on our sin and wallow in our shame as a pig does in dirt, or we can rejoice that it is finished at the cross. God turns David's mourning into dancing, and he has put off his sackcloth and clothed David with gladness. That out of God's nature, he shows us great mercy and grace. This is his heart. That even though he is holy and just, he has made a way that we can be delivered from our sin and the punishment of it. What is your purpose in life? If you don't know God, what is the point in you living? Why are you here? And I don't think you can give us a strong answer if you don't know God and you aren't living for him. It's up to you. It's up to the next person to tell us what their purpose is in life. But with God, every human has a purpose: to worship him, to praise him, and to declare his truth. And what a privilege it is to live in this purpose. What a peace it is to know I'm here for a reason. David brings it back to praising God. To the end, to his end, however long that might be, he, I don't think, knew about heaven like we do. But whatever end he has, may his glory, may his being sing praise to God and not be silent. And he says he will give thanks to God forever. That as you reflect now on God's great deliverance through Jesus, that you are now clothed with his righteousness, you now have the fullness of joy in being with God forever, how could you be silent? How can you not let your heart overflow in singing praise to God? We don't meditate on this reality that God has delivered us enough, because if we did, it should result in us praising God. It should result in us giving thanks to him. It should result in us declaring his truth to others, that they might know the great deliverance of God. That God has delivered us from our enemies. God has delivered us from his own anger and from the punishment of our sin. And what's he delivered us into? God has delivered us from our pride, and he's delivered us into joy, into his grace. May we reflect on God's salvation and grace and realize we can't trust in our own strength. We never have the strength to get out of the pit. You can't even see the top of it. but rather cry out to God, for he is the great deliverer. Thank you for listening. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word, reminding us of how great a deliverance we have in Christ. What a great deliverer you are. Thank you for showing us mercy, even though you are holy and we deserve punishment for our sin. Thank you that the anger for the moment was put on Jesus at the cross. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for the purpose we now have in you. We've got so much to be thankful for. I pray now as we go and live today, tomorrow, each day, and for eternity, might we constantly have your thanks to you in our minds as we remember your grace. And would we sing aloud, sing a joyful song to you, sing your praise, as how can we be silent now? And for those who don't know you and are listening, I pray, Lord, that you would open their eyes to the great salvation, to the great way that they can be saved through Jesus. Would you show them that this is truth? This is what matters. And would you convict their hearts of their sin, seeing how serious it is that Jesus had to die for it? And would you help them trust solely in him? For he said, it is finished. Thank you that Jesus rose again, and that our life is now with him. Thank you for who you are and what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.